One of the toughest things for me is dealing with those times and being able to cope during those times when I feel sad or some sort of negative emotion. It may be sadness, it may be anxiety. There's several different negative emotions that we as humans are capable of feeling. And to me, it's really a different matter altogether when it is during these times that I just find myself, whether it's I may wake up feeling this way, I may be okay, and then suddenly, for no apparent reason, I may suddenly find myself, really overtaken, or even just, feeling a persistent negative emotion for some reason. And the struggle for me has been that, I find myself, it's very easy, it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction, and I think it's just part of us being human that, and I can't say that this is this way for all of us, but I know that, it is something that I think is fairly common. I know I've talked to a lot of people about it, about this particular struggle, and these are the times when we are being visited, by certain emotions and feeling certain things that tend to stick with us, and we don't know why. And I realize there's also those times when we may feel sad or feel anxious or fearful, or frustrated or whatever the negative emotion might be, and we know why. In other words, those things, I don't want to say they're easier to deal with, but at least there's no mystery. We know that really in a best case scenario, we know that it's us reacting to, something that has happened to us, something that someone has said to us, something that someone has done to us, a situation we maybe find ourselves in as a result of our own doing. It could be a combination of all those things. And there are, in those situations, there still is a need, if we are not wanting to suffer needlessly or unnecessarily. There are, during the times when we know why we feel a certain way, mindfulness and mindful coping practice, both are very, very helpful during those times. But when we are feeling a certain way and we don't know why, at least for me, I know that part of why I can sometimes suffer needlessly through this is that I may forget that trying to figure out why I feel this way is really nothing more than just thinking. And in most cases, it is a tendency to do what I refer to as overthinking. It can also be, I had a Zen teacher one time refer to this. He would call them, you would be suffering from, a bout of thinking. In other words, the word B-O-U-T, a bout of suffering. It would be like almost, it's like a bout of thinking, I'm sorry. So it's almost like an affliction in a certain way. And anyone that has gotten caught in a loop of just constantly trying to think their way out of something will know how painful that can be sometimes. And it's almost as if we, when we're doing that, we know we don't know the answer, but we, don't know that continuing to try to find the answer when it's highly unlikely that we will just leads to nothing but more suffering. And being able to trust that at some point, whatever feeling it is that is, causing us difficulty will pass. And because they generally do. And I know that different traditions have different ways of looking at this. And so I don't want to get too caught up in the philosophies, the various philosophies about how feelings come and go and why they happen and why we go through this. Because I think what I'd refer to as the metaphysics of this, there's a lot of different ways of looking at it. So I tend not to really get really caught up in the various theories or philosophies for why this happens. I think everybody, has the ability and the right to choose, a philosophy or a way of looking at this. Everyone can kind of have their own set, their own set of metaphysics or metaphysical ways of looking at this. So really what we're talking about here is just simply you know, when we break this down, when this is happening, and I know for me what it usually feels like is that I will suddenly become aware that I am feeling sad or mournful or anxious or fearful, frustrated, angry, whatever it may be. And it's very easy to get lost in that feeling. And there again, there's a very delicate balance. I know that for many people, and I have been there as well, that if we're not feeling good, or if we're feeling something that feels negative or is causing us pain, you know, the knee-jerk reaction or the automatic reaction as humans is to try to make that pain go away. If I'm feeling angry, I want to, well, I don't know, with anger sometimes we do, you know, there's, sometimes there's nothing quite as delicious as, you know, getting really wrapped up in some what I call righteous anger. Sometimes it seems to be, it feels almost self-serving. It's not healthy for us. It's not good for us. It's not good for the people that we direct it towards. But, you know, in terms of fear, and sometimes the anger is something we don't want to feel anymore. We don't like the way we feel when we're angry. So it just depends. But usually the anxiety, the fear, the sadness, the frustration, confusion, things along those lines, or if we just don't feel like ourselves for some particular reason, these are, you know, the sometimes it is very tempting to just, even if we know it's better for us to just sit with that feeling and be present with it, even as uncomfortable as it is, because the more we can tune into it and just be with it no matter how it feels, that usually helps for it to pass instead of getting caught up in trying to make it go away, in trying to be in denial of it. Because it seems like the more we resist feeling a certain way, the more that it tends to stay with us. It's almost as if, you know, the mind and the body, you know, do this, you know, to do this to us. The more we try to tune something out or stuff it down, it tends to stay with us. And so I say all this to really look at this from a mindfulness perspective. And that is the most difficult thing I find, is when I am really plagued with negative emotions, I find that I don't always want to be mindful. I don't always want to be awake and really be aware of what's going on. So it's a matter of getting past my own resistance to doing what I know in my heart is best for me, and that is to stay present with however I feel. So if I can practice, the more I can practice doing this, the more likely I am to do that when it counts, when I'm actually suffering and struggling with a negative emotion. And that's really where mindfulness practice comes in, is that the more I practice just being with my mind and letting it do whatever it does, and not being afraid of it and not resisting what it's, you know, whatever my mind is doing, whatever I'm thinking about how I'm feeling, the more that I sit with, learn to sit with that. And especially, it's almost like now, if I find myself, and it's almost like you train yourself to do this, it's almost like it runs counter to what you would think that you would be doing during these times. And it's almost as if I have, without realizing it, and this is available to anyone, is that especially when I am struggling and suffering, the more that I can train myself to get still and get present and really be aware of what is going on, it really helps for two reasons. First of all, it ensures that I'm much more likely to do that when I am not really paying attention. And especially if, you know, if I am overtaken by a negative emotion that really knocks me off my center, or really knocks me out of, you know, puts me off balance, it may be less likely that I'm going to be present with that. But if I've practiced that and I've trained myself to do that, the hope is that when it counts, when the situation, when, you know, when they say when the chips are down, that I will do that without having to think about it. And then what is really the most difficult about it is once we start getting very still and really paying attention, we may very well find that however we're feeling is really, you know, can be, is really troubling at different levels. we may find that there is a really deep desire to just kind of shut down. That's really what we may be trying to do. And if that is already in process, and if we are already starting to do that, it can be very, very tough when we, but at the same time, what is important is that we notice that we're aware of it. And if we realize that we are trying to shut down, or we are trying to be in denial, or we're trying to stuff the feeling down and quote unquote deal with it and just try to take care of business, so to speak, we can see ourselves doing it. And there again, we don't want to try to stop that process. But the more that we're aware that we have already started our unconscious processes of trying to just put it out of our minds and just deny its existence, that is really where this is where the edge is. If we can see ourselves in real time resisting the way something feels, if we are actually trying to be in denial of how we feel, and is in addition to this, we want, and this is really kind of breaking this down, it's almost as if I am, you know, when these things happen, they tend to happen in real time, and it can happen very quickly. We can suddenly sort of what I call wake up and just find ourselves troubled by something, and we may be already well down the road of developing a line of thought about it. We may be already developing a storyline where we're the character, this is what's happening, and it may really have very little to do with the reality of how things really are. And it doesn't mean that we're bad or that we're wrong by doing this. It's just, this is what the brain tends to do if we haven't trained it otherwise. It's just, this is a common human reaction. So what I'm really trying to do here is really slow down the game tape and really put things in slow motion so that, because I've had, and the reason why I'm doing this is so that people can actually be more accustomed or more comfortable, may not be completely comfortable, but more comfortable with, as they begin to pay attention to what their minds are doing, it may be very overwhelming to see that there's already things that the mind is doing to try to cope. And there again, that is really why we do these things. If, you know, in other words, it's not that we're bad or wrong. It's just that, you know, we're wired to try to occupy ourselves in a certain way. And really what we're doing is we're just dissipating energy. If we feel something very strongly, especially if it's negative, or what's referred to as negative, that, you know, this is really just, it's an energetic response in our bodies and in our minds. And what happens is that we can find that energy, you know, has to, you know, energy like this, you know, it has to, you know, the only way for it to dissipate or for it to move throughout us is for us to begin to do something to dissipate the energy. And so that is where we can find that there's a tendency to start thinking about it and analyzing it, coming up with a story about what we think the reason is for why we feel this way, and speculating. And a lot of it is speculation. Now there may be, and it's not to say, there may be times when we may be able to get some insight into why we are feeling a certain way, but what I find is that the conditions for that being, for us being more successful at doing that, tend to be when we are still, when we are being mindful, being present with ourselves and how we're feeling, and really noting what is happening in our minds, being able to actually sit as a spectator and see what our self-talk really looks like, what it sounds like, to see how we're really reacting. And then there can be, you know, once we get to that place where we have gotten out of the storm, so to speak, when we're not unconsciously just caught in a loop of just reacting to how we feel, once we actually are actually present and really here for what's happening and aware of what our minds are doing, we can utilize different forms, and there are different forms of meditative practices to calm the mind. And it is really critical that we calm the mind so that we can start really taking a look at what's happening. and if we're in a state of high energy, of an energetic response to emotions, we generally are not going to get a clear picture. It's kind of like a television screen with a lot of static on it, or audio with a lot of static, where we just can't really hear what's going on. Once we're able to get a clearer picture by calming the mind, and mindfulness practice is certainly one of those practices that, as we get more comfortable with it, it allows us not only to calm the mind through paying, basically fixing our attention on a specific thing. And in this case, it would be what our thoughts are, what we're actually thinking. How are we actually reacting to what's going on? So this is really kind of a way of just, I'm really trying to slow everything down so that you can see all these different things that are going on. And once you start to actually see what's going on, it makes it much less likely that you're going to be overwhelmed by it. And you'll be much less likely to really believe what you're thinking about what you're feeling. Because in many cases, our thoughts about what we're feeling, if we believe them and take them seriously, just causes more reaction, and it really leads us away from a place where we actually can find our center again, or find our balance and begin to really be able to cope with what is going on with us. And what I really find is that any practices, and I'm not saying that there's any best practice or the right practice for everyone. I think everyone, there are different meditative practices, and finding what, either one or a combination of those things that you practice and train your mind to be more aware of what you're actually doing when you find yourself caught up in a negative emotion, that is really what's most important, is figuring out, what works for each person. And what generally happens is that once we can start to see those things that I mentioned previously, there's all these different moving parts and pieces to what's going on. It's almost like a puzzle. It's a matter of beginning to, turn the pieces over and begin to put the puzzle together. And it's something that we're not really trying to do. It actually is something that really, what I find, is this happens on its own. I don't need to actively try to solve any. There's no mysteries for me to solve. There's no puzzle for me to put together. All I really have to do, and I know this can sound very strange to think about if someone has not considered this, or if this is not the way that people are used to looking at the reality of what we deal with in terms of our emotions, is that I don't necessarily need to have to really strive or struggle for answers. In fact, I'm actually better off, I find for myself, the less that I try to solve these mysteries, the less that I try to find answers. And it took me a long time to understand that the answers themselves, once I know the answer, it's almost as if, in a way, that, I used to think that was what I refer to as the Holy Grail. That was, if I could just find out all of the answers to why I'm struggling, then I wouldn't struggle anymore. And I found out, it took me a long time to realize that struggle to find that answer, to solve those mysteries, really did not guarantee in any way that I would not struggle in the future. And second of all, the answers are really subjective. Just because I think this is the answer to why I'm struggling may have really nothing to do with it. And this is where, the tendency is to, the logical approach to this. And there again, I don't want to say that that's wrong for anyone. I know for me, though, the more that I have allowed myself to just intuitively be with how I'm feeling, and, mindfulness practice and mindful coping practice are the things that allow me and empower me to be able to do that, that I really don't necessarily have to logically think my way through these things. And there again, I don't want anyone to get me wrong. I'm not, disrespecting or saying that thinking is not beneficial or necessary, or that there's anything wrong with it. What I'm saying is that if there is thinking that needs to be done, we're in a much better position to do it. If there's any logical, work that we need to do to figure something out, and I realize life requires that, But in terms of figuring out how we feel, it is really all speculative. And it's taken me a long time to appreciate that. Now, this is for me. I'm not saying this is the absolute truth for everyone. I'm just saying that for me, any sort of answers that I try to find and any sort of mysteries that I try to solve about this, I feel like I'm just speculating. And that what I'm much better off doing is spending my time and energy being more aware of what my mind is doing in response to these negative emotions, and being able to see myself and see what I'm doing. And also, it allows me to get a check on reality. In other words, I may think things are a certain way, and I don't know if this is something that you know, different people do this in different ways, but, you know, I will, it's almost like, in a way, there again, as humans, you know, we want certainty, we want answers. And so the sooner I can resolve any conflicts in my mind about what is really going on in any given moment, I feel like I'm going to feel better. And somehow I just believe. I don't know, and there again, I don't know where that started. I think that is also very common. I've certainly talked to a lot of people who have tended to feel the same way. And so what I realize is that, you know, that is a habit, that need for answers, that deep need to solve the mystery of how we're feeling. These are just really habits. You know, we are wired this way to a certain degree, you know, is a way of dissipating energy. I believe that, at least for me, that's, you know, my way of sort of shaking it off. But it doesn't mean it's the best thing for me to do. It doesn't mean it's the best way. It doesn't mean it's the best way I should live my life, trying to brace myself against these feelings. And so with mindfulness, it's really a matter of just really paying attention to my mind and practicing that over and over again. And the more I do it, the stronger the practice gets. And so when things, you know, really, really get tough, and I'm really, you know, I get, you know, somehow I'm, you know, I'm feeling something that is really, really throwing me off center, or really, you know, has put me out of balance, and I'm really trying to figure out, trying to find my way, that the more that I have trained myself to just not brace against it, not resist it, just let it be what it is, trust that I can handle however I'm feeling, even if I am really, really struggling. And the more that I get really present with what is really going on around me, to see that all is really well, even though I don't think that it is. Now, this is not to say if, you know, an emergency, a true emergency would clearly be different, and that's not really what I'm speaking about today. This is really about those times when I have decided things are not okay, when I think that there is an emergency. And I realize now that, you know, I don't have to do that. I can actually, there's a different way. And then once I can get my mind calmed down and start to relax my mind, then I can start to do that work of really paying more attention to really kind of, you know, tearing down that infrastructure of that story that I have, that storyline that's in my head, tearing down that infrastructure of that identity of me as the victim, you know, plagued by something that's never going to go away. And, you know, to stop, you know, stop all the internal drama in my mind about how badly I have it and how I'm suffering so much, and to be able to see that this is just stuff that I'm doing to dissipate energy. This allows me to be able to start what I refer to as mindfully coping. I can then begin to get myself in a much better place where I can cope with life. The difficult part about a lot of these things are these negative emotions. We never know when they're going to happen. In most cases, they happen when we're in the middle of living life, you know. And so it really does take the ability I've found to be what I call mindful on my feet. I've got to be able to do these things sometimes when I don't have the ability to go sit in a room quietly in the dark and cross my legs and sit still. A lot of times this happens when I'm in the midst of dealing with deadlines, with, you know, pressures at work, pressures in my personal life, other conflicts that I'm dealing with. But it can be done. It can be overwhelming at times to try to find the will to do these practices when we're in the middle of life, in the middle of the storm. But the more that we do this, the more comfortable we get, the more resilient that we get, the clearer that our minds get when we're really in the middle of the storm and we can't see our way past what's going on, we can begin to realize that there is a way to navigate this through the storm. And it really begins with these practices and slowing things down and really taking a look at what's really happening. And mindfulness and mindful coping practice, both of these practices can really enable us and really empower us to be able to do these things and be able to cope and live our lives in the most effective way that we can. It is truly possible.